Amen and amen. All right, look, I know you ladies are studying something in your Sunday school class, and if there's anything that you might have to give some insight to us men, you're welcome to share that if you'd like. And or if there's something in your proverb reading that you want to talk about, give away, or anywhere else in the scripture, that's the privilege of doing what we get to do. We want to help one another and help each other grow and be stretched. So when it speaks to you and you want to be able to redound that to the glory of God, we want to say, let the Lord be magnified. Let us exalt his name together. Amen. Amen. So does anybody have anything? Yes, ma'am.
Exactly. But this first verse of 22, I had to learn growing up.
Did you? You had to learn it, huh? Repeat it to me.
A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. That's the part I remember.
That's what you had to remember. Good name.
And loving favor rather than silver and gold.
Yes, loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is to be chosen. If there's something to choose, it is something that you make a choice on. Let's think about that. We know the implications of having a good name. But think about us and who we are and our identity in Jesus. Think about the good name we get to bear. Janet, what's your name? Janet what?
My maiden name or my middle name?
What does everybody know you have?
Probably McKenzie.
Janet McKenzie Briggs. So you've taken on Greg's name then. And you've carried that name for how long now? 42 years. Sandy, what does everybody know you as? Sandy. Sandy. I understand. Everybody knows us by different names and all that, but you go by Sandy Talbot. Karen Briggs.
Karen Harless Briggs.
Keep it. Stephanie, usually Stephanie Cooper. Hold it. Miss Pat. Riles. See, Mo, it's long, ain't it? Yeah. But she keeps her maiden name in there.
So when I write it down, I just put Pat.
Yeah, just Pat. But you see, we are the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We do take upon his name as being part of the family, being part of the body of Christ. Right? We do. Now, of course, we're talking about here, and it applies to the same, but we're talking about choosing a good name, that it is better to have a good name rather than great riches. We know people and know of people who have great riches but don't have a good name to go with that.
Amen.
It's nothing wrong with having great riches if great riches don't have you. Is the idea. God doesn't mind us having possessions as long as those possessions don't have a hold of us. So great riches is not the issue. I mean, you can't get much wealthier than Solomon and David and Abraham and some of those in those days. But those things didn't have possession of them. God had possession of each of them. You take like Solomon, for an example, who gives us these proverbs. He didn't ask for those great riches, those treasures, that great wealth. And the reason is he had a father who gave him instruction in those things. He trained him up in the way that he should go, shaped him to go in a direction, and that this wealth was not what he needed. He needed a wealth of wisdom. And he asked for wisdom. And God said, because you didn't seek after these great riches, he said, not only will I give you wisdom, but I'll give you those things as well. And it's not set apart for everybody to have great riches. But we all can be rich. We can all have treasures. And, you know, we work for revenues on a job, but We work with treasure. And treasure is much more precious than monetary or material things. Treasures are found in being wise and having understanding and being kind and having knowledge and those types of things to be able to be a blessing to people, to be advantageous to help people in life. Solid, good people are not born solid and good people. They have to be reborn to be solid and good people, but good people look out for other people. Amen. And that's what we've been seeing in Proverbs. Everything we've been reading is the idea that they're looking out for somebody else. They don't take advantage of the poor because they can. They know that it's not the right thing. You want to bless, you want to help, you want to have a generous eye. And we know that God blesses that. And in Proverbs 22, he talks about that on several occasions, that look, don't take from the poor and then give to the rich. I think, where did he say that at? Look, verse 16. This is just somebody who takes advantage of somebody else. This is in 22:16. He who oppresses the poor to increase his riches. That is, taking advantage of another person to increase your purchasing power or power as a whole. And notice the second part. And he who gives to the rich will surely come to what? Come to poverty. So you take from one to give to the other so that you can take advantage of both. You see, somebody does that still looking out for who?
Themselves
the whole time. You know, like supporting political parties, supporting trust funds, those types of things to have an advantage on others, taking from one to give to the other because it's advantageous for you. God says, in the end, you'll come up with nothing. It's going to lead to poverty.
Amen.
And that's something that our society just don't really have an understanding on, because you think about all the different fundraisers, all the political fundraisers. You think about the Democratic and the Republican parties. They're always trying to raise money, and this one's donating to this one, and this one's donating to that one. You know, bribes, for an example. Man, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. If I donate so much money here so that when I find myself in this position, it's kind of like in corrupt politicians.
Yeah.
Now, that's supposed to be what? Illegal. But people find ways around it. And these are the kind of things that this is talking about here. Is that, hey, you oppress the poor, take stuff from them to only give it to somebody who can be a difference maker in your life, but really it goes back to who are they taking care of?
Yeah.
It's all about them. Well, that's the opposite of a good person. A good person is not looking for out for themselves. They look into what? Be a blessing to other people. At times, it's going to cost them, but they're willing to what? Do that. They're willing to give up that because they know that in the end, that it's more advantageous for the people, for them to do good to them, even though it might cost them something. And they know who's always watching what they do. And they don't do it to gain necessarily just from the Lord, even though there's a reward in doing what God gives you to do. He rewards faith. There's no doubt about that. The scriptures teach us that. He rewards us when we seek him, but that's not necessarily why you do what is right. Why do we do what is right? Because it's the right thing to do, right? It's the right thing to do. Right representation. So a good name is to be chosen over what? Great riches. And when we come into the kingdom of God, we take upon the name of Jesus. Boy, that's a pretty good name to take upon, amen? Who we are connected to, who we are married to, and therefore having loving favor from the Father because of us being identified in the kingdom of God with his Son. You can't get any sweeter than that. That's the best place in the world to live in, amen?
Amen.
So, yes, that's a good one to remember. Ecclesiastes says that last Sunday night we looked at it. A good name is better than the most precious medicines. A good name is better than the most precious medicine. And everybody in here probably takes some type of medicine. Some more valuable than others, some more costly than others, but a good name is better than all of it. Amen?
Amen.
So, yes, any others? Any other thing that you may have seen? Something that just stuck out to you? Did the scriptures in the last couple of days tell us we need to be careful about the type of people we run with, associate with, or friends with, or connected, bound to? What did it say? I think there's just in the last couple of days, it's given us like three different types of people we need to be cautious about of running with.
Scoffers.
Who's that?
Scoffers.
A scoffer. That's right. What did it say about a scoffer? What we have to be careful with?
Drive out a scoffer and strike and go out.
Yeah, that's verse 10, right, of chapter 22. That's one right there that's very important for us. He said, cast out the scoffer. And who is the scoffer? Those who mock others, who they've gone past just being a fool, in the sense that they think their way is the right way. We deal with fools all the time. We can act foolishly ourselves, thinking that our way's better. But a mocker is one who then's gonna lash out at the other way. You know, a fool just say, look, man, you do your thing, I'm gonna do my thing, but I'm not gonna harm you in doing your thing. I'm just not gonna do it. You go do it all day long. And he's not going to make fun of you, he's not going to mock you in it, he's not going to scoff at it, but a scoffer is going to try to cause harm or hurt in your life. If you try to correct them, they'll try to discredit you. They're going to try to harm you in one way or another. We learned that in chapter 9. Chapter 9 says if you correct a wise man, he's going to increase in wisdom. He's going to become wiser. Why? He welcomes correction, instruction, and guidance in his life. But a scoffer says, what right do you have to say that to me? Now, that you said it to me, now I'm going to have to discredit you and your stance before everybody else, and I'm going to set out to hurt your character in that. That's a scoffer. A scoffer is somebody who's always mocking and stirring up a little trouble, you know, on the job, or in a community, or even in a church. And that's what he's telling you here. Look, if he's telling you to kick them out, get away from them, don't hang out with them, that's basically what he's saying. Be cautious, because if you start listening to them, just like your news, you got to be careful with that news. You know how that news will get you stirred up, won't it?
Yeah.
Why? Because they mocking things that are right and applauding things that are wrong in a lot of cases. And what does that do to you? It stirs up what? Strife. It gets you get frustrated with it. It stirs it up, Brother Shannon. So he says in verse 10, cast out the scoffer. Get that out of your journey. And contention, that unsettled contention in your spirit would leave. Yes, strife and reproach will come to an end. It will cease. So that's fundamental. What's another place? Verse 13, what does it say? The lazy man says there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. So a lazy person is somebody who's going to come up with some kind of excuse why they can't do. Now, that sounds extravagant, doesn't it? When you say, well, I can't do this, can't go outside because there's a lion in the street. That's pretty extreme. That's their excuse. Basically saying they'll use any type of excuse, as crazy as it may sound that the lion's walking through the street, to not to do something. You mentioned it earlier, they work harder not to do than to do.
Amen.
And that's the idea. We got to be careful about that slothful spirit because it can approach. We need the same approach with our time seeking and studying the scriptures, because the scripture says the diligent soul is going to be made rich. Is going to be made rich. There's profit in all labor. So we have to be careful of not to be slothful. And as we say here, a lazy man in our studies of the things of God and what he's given us to do. We don't want to be lazy in that. Look in verse number 24. What does it say? Make no friendship with who? An angry man, and with a furious man do not go, for fear you what?
Learn his ways
and set a snare for your soul. Have to be careful that you don't want them to rub off on you, is the basically idea. If you hang with them too long, it's not that you avoid, it's not that you don't go to try to help and work with or do things with. From that perspective, the idea of making a friendship is that you come in a bond with them, and you will pick up on some of their ways if you're not careful with an angry person or a furious person. Look in 20. I think it's 2019. What does it say? 2019. Here's another one in the last couple days. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals what?
Secrets.
Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his
lips.
Okay, so what is the flatterer going to do? Why will the flatterer try to flatter you? Why would the talebearer try to flatter you?
He wants some information.
He wants to get a little what? A little tasty morsel that they can go tell. Now, if you know you got a talebearer, somebody who gossips, somebody who goes tales, and they pump you up and flatter you just to get a little information out of you, you have to be careful. You got to just know who you're working with, that you just don't want to disclose things that don't need to be disclosed to somebody who's trying to pry a little information from you about somebody, and it create tension not only for them, but for you as well. So that association, he said, you don't want to be in business with the talebearer, because the talebearer, not only is he going to tell on them, but he's going to turn around and tell on you as well. And it's just a given. What he gets you to tell, so he can go and tell. He just wants to get you to tell him something or her something so that you can go and tell. And man, we got to be cautious. Amen?
Amen?
Because everywhere we turn, there's always a likelihood that there's going to be somebody who wants to get just a little tasty morsel. There was a passage I saw. Let's see. Something about, where is it at? Oh, verse 28 of chapter 21. Notice this. A false witness, somebody who tells false things about other people, things that they just don't have the right information on, or their intent was to malign the circumstances for whatever reason it is. A false witness shall perish. Eventually they'll perish. But the man who takes their false news, who hears him, will speak what? Endlessly or constantly. You know what's going to happen. That false witness may get off the scene, but the information you receive or you go tell, it's just going to keep what? It's just going to keep going. It's going to keep going. So we have to be cautious about that. The information we take in, the information we pass on, we got to be cautious. Okay, who's trying to butter us up? A flatterer. What will a flatterer do? Say things to your face that they would never say behind your back. That's what a flatterer is going to do. when you hear and you know people who are have a pattern of saying things to people's faces, that you hear them talk about how they talk to them, but then when they're in private with you, they down them and talk bad about them, you're dealing with a flatterer, right?
And you should figure that they're going to do you the same.
Well, the point, because you're dealing with a character trait.
Yeah.
And the scriptures talk about, I think in our Proverbs reading, it was either today or yesterday, talked about how with a person who is out for himself, even his neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. That means everything he does is going to be for who? For himself. He's going to be for himself. So you got to be, we got to be cautious of that, and we got to guard ourselves from doing that. And a gossip, what does a gossip do? A gossip will say things behind your back that they'd never say to your face. A flatterer say things to your face that they'd never say behind your back. So a gossip and a flatterer is just the opposite is the application of it, is that they will say things behind your back but not to your face, where the flatterer, on the other hand, will butter you up. Butter you up. Look what it is. I think, look over in... I know I saw something. Where was that at about your neighbor? About your neighbor. Oh, yeah. 21:10. The soul of the wrong, the wicked, their soul desires evil, things that have no value to them. Therefore, his neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. That's simply saying that he's not going to put his life aside to be a blessing to you. He's out for himself, is the idea. Yeah, they can be neighborly as long as it is what? Advantageous for them. But soon as it is no longer advantageous for them, and it's not benefiting them, they're no longer neighborly. And so all this is the neat thing about these Proverbs. They help us, these sermons in a sentence is what it is. A sermon in a sentence.
Amen.
A condensed, concentrated principle just in a brief sentence. Lot there. Come on in, brother. Come on in. We're wrapping it up here. Come on in. So I don't know about y'all, but I still got a lot of growing to do.
Amen.
Amen. I still got a lot of growing to do. It's an ever-learning process. Always learning and relearning. Learning and relearning.
Amen.
Learning and relearning again and again. That's the neat thing about these Proverbs. They awaken us again, like, oh, man, that slipped me. You know, that got away from me. I started doing some things that said be careful not to do, and then some things that I'm doing I see God cultivating in my journey. So we give him the praise for it. Amen?
And that's why it's repeated a lot.
It is, isn't it? A lot of these principles are just overlapping.
Because we either miss it the first time, or like me, I done forgot. Oh, I went, oh, that looks like that's a new word.
And yeah.
I go, wait a minute. No.
Yeah. I done wrote something about that. I was in that not long ago.
Yeah.
How'd I forget it so quick?
Yeah.
How'd I forget it so quick? But I encourage you, keep hiding them in your heart. Keep hiding them in your heart. They'll give you counsel.
You got to use them.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to keep them.
Got to give it away. Yeah. In chapter 22, he tells us that today. The reason, one of the reasons why, we'll talk about that in the service, from 17 to 21 is so that we put it to work. That's why they're given, so that we can live these things out. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Father, thank you for our time together this morning, for these that we've had the opportunity to pray over and consider and think on. We pray that you help us as we do pray and bring it before you, that you use these things to magnify your name, and that we continue to see what a precious gift it is to have a good name. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on in. Love y'all.